Thanks for listening to Alt Latino. Do you need a weekend movie recommendation, or are you still digesting the last episode of your favorite show? NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour is good conversation for the very best things to read, watch, and listen to. Find it now at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. Jasmine Garst is away, so I invited a group of musicians to come and hang out and talk about music this week. Three of the members of the Peruvian band Nova Lima join me today to guest DJ some music and to dig a little deeper into Afro-Peruvian culture and history. We have in the studio with us today Grimaldo de Solar, Ramon Perez Prieto, and Rafael Morales. Guys, again, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us here.
Now, we're starting with a track from your new album. What is the name of this track?
It's called San Antonio.
And it's based on a traditional song?
Yes, it's a very old traditional Afro-Peruvian song based on chants from the fields.
So let's hear what you guys did with tradition. Check this out. This is San Antonio from the album Planetario from Nova Lima. Me voy, me voy. Gonna play the song where you got that inspiration to do this.
Hi, this is Rafael from Nova Lima. This version is recorded by Lucila Campos, which is one of the best and better known female singers of Afro-Peruvian music, traditional music, and this version is like from the early 60s. Festejo, festejo, as the name says, is celebration. So it's a subgenre within Afro-Peruvian music that is very fast and lively and happy, and it's to dance, and that's what the song says. I mean, San Antonio is a town where there was a big black community. How do you say, a town where you cultivate in the fields?
Yes, it's like a farming community.
A farming community, exactly. Yes. So that song celebrates the town, basically, and how they have this festive thing going on Sundays.
I'm really liking this original version, and I especially like how you guys treated that song with respect to the tradition but added your own thing. But let's hear some more of the original version. Campos and some traditional Afro-Peruvian music. Guys, let's talk a little bit about where all that music comes from. Let's talk a little bit about the legacy of slavery in Peru and how it's influenced and settled into contemporary Peru and how it's influenced your music. So first of all, let's start with some basic history. Slavery was established in Peru in the 16th century. It wasn't abolished in Peru until 1854. And just as a reminder, it wasn't abolished here in the United States until 1865. So it had a long history in Peru, and that influence and legacy, would you say for a long time that it was not celebrated in Peru? Was it sort of like pushed down and not talked about much?
Yes, I'm Grimaldo. And yeah, in Peru, in total, I think that Afro-Peruvian community probably has kind of 3-4% of the population. And basically, they were brought to the coast of Peru. In Peru, we have the coast, the Andes, and the jungle, the Amazon. So they were usually working on the coast, basically in two spots on the coast of Peru, up north in Saña, and up south, 2-3 hours from Lima, in Chincha Cañete, which is where actually developed all this Afro-Peruvian culture. And for a lot of years, it's been kind of forgotten, let's say. Usually, I mean, when we were kids, we would listen to this music only in kind of festivities or parties where you will go get drunk and sing these songs and that's it. No, nobody will have a CD or listen to it at home, etc.
Right.
So now I think it's changed a lot since 20 or 25 years ago, probably started with Susana Vaca and musicians like her that started making new sounds of Afro-Peruvian music. And now you get a lot of interesting projects mixing Afro-Peruvian with jazz, with salsa. We do it with electronic and other styles, but there's a lot of different projects now that are very interesting.
So let's talk a little bit about how you guys started. My understanding is that the three of you were living in different places and you exchanged electronic music files as you started to put a band together. Is that how it happened?
Hi, my name is Ramon. We were playing since we were kids, actually. We had rock bands before this. But near the year 2000, when the technology started to develop these home studios, it was the same time I was already in Lima, living in Lima, and Grimaldo, Rafael, and Carlos, they left Lima. Rafael went to London, Grimaldo went to Barcelona, Carlos went to Hong Kong.
Carlos
Licarillo, he's not longer with us. He mm-hmm. was one of the initial producers of Nova Lima. And since we had been musicians and band colleagues for a long time, we decided to keep on making music at a distance. They started over at the year 2000. Each of us had some tracks we had been working on our own. And when we decided to compile all the tracks we had all together to make a new project, a new album, is when we incorporated the Peruvian percussion.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break from the music to remind you to tune in to our friends at Pop Culture Happy Hour. You can find it at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. It's a weekly check-in to find out what happened on your favorite show and how can you otherwise just be cool. Again, Pop Culture Happy Hour at npr.org/podcast. Now let's get back to the music. Let's go around the room. Let's start with Ramon. What instruments do you play?
I play the keyboards in the live band.
Rafael?
Guitar.
Grimaldo?
All the electronic part, the beats and effects.
I got to say that when I first heard your sound, I was familiar with Susana Baca, the great Afro-Peruvian singer, mm-hmm. as a lot of people were. She's probably the biggest name.
Yes.
But when I heard this album, even the cover had a guy sitting on top of a cajon that had a speaker in it, right?
Yeah.
Then the whole concept was just completely different and just fascinated me and just really drew me in because I liked that combination of the old and the new, the tradition, and you guys were almost looking forward into the future with what you're doing. So let's talk a little bit about, we know how the band got started. What was some of the music you guys were listening to individually around that time when you were putting your bands together or even as you were growing up?
I think in the beginning, you know, we lived in the time in Peru where there was a military government going on. So there were no imports at all. So all the music that was going on in the world at that time was music that you actually had to go abroad and fly off from Peru to get it down there, you know. So I guess a lot of our influence has been from maybe US or England or Europe, the music that was going on at that time. And, well, in our case, we grew up a lot with rock and roll, a lot of rock and roll. Actually, we had rock and roll bands before that and even more hardcore bands before that. In my case, it was punk music. One of the most influence I had, I was in a private English school too, so there was a lot of punk music going on at that time. And maybe one of those is one of the best bands I heard in that time was The Clash. And The Clash not only did the punk movement, but also had a lot of reggae stuff going on and a lot of other moods going on. So I think that influence opened a wide book of different genres to look around, you know, through life.
This is going to be around the early 1980s.
Yeah, that's right. That was before getting out of high school, actually. You know. But really, I think that was a can opener, you know, for many genres around.
So one of the songs that you brought in for your guest DJ spot is the Clash song.
Guns of Brixton.
Let's hear Guns of Brixton. Let's hear The Clash.
Thank you.
their heavy emphasis on the downbeat can really hear the influence of the Clash in your music now whenever you put the two songs next to each other.
Especially a lot of bass.
Yeah.
As Ramon said, we all come from heavy rock backgrounds, being punk or metal, and I think that's what we have in the live show. The live show is very rock and roll. It's not some festivals where we go, I mean, they think, oh, Nova Lima is like world music, it's gonna be all like, you know, chill out and watch it, and it's really rock and roll. I mean, our even the band members, our bass player plays also in a hardcore punk band in Lima, and our timbal player as well has plays in Nova Lima in a salsa dura band and in a hardcore band and a hardcore rock band. So we are all like it's like a rock and roll band playing live, you know? And you have to explain that to the sound guys and the equipment guys that we're gonna blow up the bass.
let's talk about the lyrics though that we're hearing in the Clash, because those are all very strong comments on society and about a repressive society. Now, in addition to the music style, I imagine that the ideas and the lyrics were popular with you guys living in a military dictatorship.
Well, that's right. Obviously, the Clash was always like a protest movement, no? And I think that was one of the reasons too, because of the times we were living in Peru. There was a social situation going on, and I guess, you know, by that time when we were young, we were looking at anything that was kind of rebellious against the system that was going on at that time. One of the problems we had during the 70s in Peru, that we didn't have much input from music from abroad, but whatever you could bring over if you would trip outside of Peru. So we were, during that time, we were investigating a lot, and every time we had the chance to fly off from Peru, we would start researching whatever was going on outside.
What did happen with the military government is that, yeah, as Ramon said, they didn't let imports in, but they promoted a lot of the Afro-Peruvian music. It was local music. So it has those two elements. So at the time when the military were promoting the local music, we were trying to get imports from the UK. Yeah.
We were growing up actually. Always we were going against music in our houses, right. But we would look outside to see what was going on in the world.
And then when it's open, we're going back to Afro-Peruvian music because no one's hearing it right now in Peru, so we're always going against the current.
One of the tracks you brought in is from a band called P18.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about that song.
P18 was one of the percussionists of Mano Negra, which is the original band that Manu Chao put together. And when they separated, he did this project. He's from Cuba, and it's a very nice album because he mixes a lot of Cuban styles with electronica. And this song, La Verdolaga, is a really nice song. He does like a reggae feel to it, and we really liked it. Actually, we used to do it live as a cover with Nova Lima. So it's a song that we started listening from the beginnings of Nova Lima, and then we actually did it live.
So was it his approach? Was it his combination of the traditional electronic that also helped inspire you for your sound?
Yes, definitely.
It's one of the first tracks, I think, I believe we've heard with electronics and Cuban and percussions going on. Por el suelo, bonito y como se riega la verdolaga. Por el suelo, ay como se riega. Por el suelo, ay que bonito. Ay la serenita, por el suelo. Ay la verdolaga, por el suelo. Ay yo la hablé bien, por el suelo. Ay yo la hablé bien, por el suelo. Ay la verdolaga.
It's almost like there's a little club, right? Like a little society where a lot of you guys were thinking along the same lines, but in different places. You know, Peru, this guy in Cuba, Mano Negra, obviously in Spain and France, you know, mixing these different traditions. But the common thread is that really heavy bass line from the reggae, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously that you guys have put a lot of thought into it, you know, and a lot of experimentation, and the music is a reflection of who you are as individuals, but also your life experiences and your musical That's experiences. Right. And it shows in the music, because this new album, Planetario, is just, I think it's a major step forward for you guys in terms of your composition, in terms of your sound, because you're including all that, but you're moving it forward.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this is a good spot probably to play something from the new album. Which track should we play?
Betokele.
We were on tour in Colombia. We had this track that had a bit of Afro-Colombian feel, Betokele, and we thought, we're here in Bogota, why don't we call a singer from Sidestep or Eka, who has an amazing voice. I mean, I think she's the element that is missing from this song. She could really take this like forward. And we called the guys from La 33 to see if we could use the studio for 1 hour just to record Eka. And they say, yeah, sure, come over. It was like, you know, lunchtime or so. And we got there, and this is a house in old Bogota. It has this patio. And suddenly all these guys started arriving. Like, suddenly it was like a huge jamming session with all these, like, you know, trumpet players and sax and keyboards and Eka. And we had our percussion guys. And it was just an amazing. We went on for the whole afternoon, you know, with beer. And everyone was taking just, you know, they have the recording booth just next to the patio. Sure. So all people are drinking and laughing in the patio and taking turns to go into the booth and see what you can add to the song. Just go in there, man, add whatever, you know, whatever you think can be added to this song. So we had like hours and hours of, you know, everything. And we had tried to use the best bits. I think we have like enough material to do another version of Betokele with different instruments, like winds. That will come in the remixes, I guess.
Okay, guys. Grimaldo de Solar, Ramon Perez Prieto, Rafael Morales, the guys from Nova Lima. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you very much, Felix.
Thank you for having us here. So it's nice to come back to NPR.
And we do want to remind you that they recorded a Tiny Desk concert. Wow, it was about five years ago?
2012, I think.
2012, yeah.
We released our previous album, Carimba.
So go on to our website at npr.org/music to look for the Tiny Desk concert with Nova Lima. And again, thank you guys for coming in and dissecting your music for us.
Thank you.
It's a lot of fun. Anytime you guys come through D.C., just come and stop by and bring some music and we'll hang out.
We'll do that. Thank you.
We want to remind you that you can hear all the music that we play today on our website at npr.org/altlatino. And if you have a favorite Afro-Peruvian performer or Peruvian performer, let us know on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. Jasmine Gars will be back soon. My name is Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino. And guys, which song are we going to go out with?
So we're going to go out with a first single out of the new album Planetario. And this one is called Como Yo, which means like me. And it's a celebration of life and about enjoying life to the fullest. And it's a dedication to our band member who passed away, Mangue, who was a character and a very enjoyable person. And this is dedicated to him.
Don Manuel de Don Porfirio llegó un día y sorprendió. Escuchó con la sonrisa y luego nos enseñó. Muchos pueblos y cantinas por el mundo recorrió. Quedó siempre con recuerdo de cada bar al que llegó. Y dijo: Tumpa a Dios solo le pido, como dice el viejo bar, que el día de mi muerte no derramen lágrimas. Quiero que canten mi canción, quiero verlos desde arriba, quiero ver celebración. Gocen la vida como yo. Gocen la vida como yo.
Come on, no, no, no.